This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar.
Allahu akbar,
Allahu akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صدق الله العظيم. If you ever watch a horse race, You'll notice that sometimes the race starts off and the rider and the horseman takes off with such speed that you think to yourself that there is no chance in the world that this person is going to lose. Because of the momentum they pick up at the beginning of the race, the energy they carry. But then what happens is that they use all of that energy in the first part of the race, and towards the end they have no energy left at all, and the horse falls back. This is the example of a group of people from amongst us. We start off life with so much energy, with so much positivity. Great influence, great opportunity, reading Quran, praying our salah, doing our dhikr. So whenever we talk about good in our life, we constantly make reference to the past. That when we were young, we used to read Quran every day. When we were young, our father used to make us sit down before iftar and we would make dua. When we were young, we used to pray salah in the masjid. When we were young, we would listen to the Jummah khutbah attentively. When we were young, our parents used to make us give sadaqah. So this constant reference of the past, when we were, when we were, when we were. But this horse, unfortunately, has gone dry and has no juice left. That's why this person actually has little to nothing to talk about today and is fearful for tomorrow. On the other hand, you have another person, the other horse, that may start off slow with a steady pace, but gradually, when the time is right, this person uses the energy they've stored and all of that positivity that they have in the reserve, and they really just take off. And this is an example of a second group of people from amongst us. People who probably didn't have all of the great positive influence that others may have when they were children. Maybe they grew up in a community where there wasn't a masjid. Or maybe there was a masjid, but there wasn't an imam. Or maybe there was an imam, but their parents weren't pious or righteous people, or religious-centered or focused, where they didn't bring their kids to the masjid, didn't teach them how to read the Quran, didn't teach them salah. These were people who constantly lost out, they lost out, they lost out when they were young. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them an opportunity. An opportunity for change. And what they did was, they took that opportunity and they ran with it. And they continued to do good, they continued to do good until the day they pass away. So these people may not have a glorious past to boast over, but they're very content with their present and optimistic of the future that lies ahead of them. This second group, many of the Sahaba radhiyallahu alayhim ajma'in were from this group. When they would remember their past, they would talk about the days of Jahiliyyah, where there wasn't much to boast over. But when they talked about the present, and when they hoped for the future, they had the greatest dreams. Because they understood the moment that needed to be given the attention was the moment you lived in. The moment you need to prepare for is the next moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give you. Capturing what you have today is something most of us aren't good at. We're only good at living the moment, maybe taking a few pictures of it, capturing it through a lens, but in our heart, we're empty of what that moment actually means. So what happens is, once it passes by, we then reflect over it and say, oh man, the month of Ramadan was there only if I had done X, Y, and Z more. You know, when my parents were alive, only if I had done so much more for them. But when they're gone, and you're carrying them on your shoulder to the graveyard, and you have to lower your own father into the grave, and pour soil on his body, I kid you not that your heart will cry and tear into pieces only if you can embrace him one more time. But once the blessing is gone, it doesn't come back. That's the principle of time. Once it passes by, you cannot return back to it. You have to learn to utilize the moment that you have. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Asr. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Taking an oath by time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by time and says, mankind is in loss when it comes to time. We don't utilize what we have. We just let it pass by. And we keep thinking tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. But nobody knows if tomorrow will come. There are many of us sitting here who've lost family members in this Ramadan. We know that's true. Because we've messaged our imam saying that so-and-so friend, so-and-so family member, so-and-so relative has passed away. They left the world, and one day very soon, Once our eyes close and our heart stops beating, someone else is going to send that text message to the imam, and our name is going to be in that message. Utilizing what you have today. Do good deeds while you have the opportunity today. Even though your ego, your nafs, your lower soul will want you not to do it, because it constantly wants you to be lazy and pulls you back. Leave it alone. You're young. Why do you need to do ibadah today? You're not old. Those that are old, you think to yourself that, you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy upon me. Forget it, move on. Forget it, move on. Your nafs wants you to be lazy. It wants you to step back from opportunity. But the problem is that if you step back, you're never sure if that opportunity will ever come again or not. When I was young, I used to live in a small town in Kentucky. Our town was called Elizabethtown. Elizabethtown, Kentucky. That was a town that I lived in. And in our town, we didn't have opportunities for eating halal. So there weren't any halal restaurants, but aside from that, we also didn't have any halal meat. So the Muslims there, if they wanted to eat halal meat, they would send one person on behalf of the community to Ohio sometimes to Indiana, and they would go there, slaughter a few animals, load them into the truck, and bring them back and distribute the meat in the community. So every month or every other month, there would be someone else's turn to make that drive. I was visiting home from madrasa, so I came for my holidays, and it was the imam's turn to drive out to Ohio to pick up the meat. He was going to make the drive alone. He came to me and said, well, you're not doing anything, you're on holiday, why don't you come with me? So I said, okay. I got ready, I jumped in with him, we were going for a road trip. Back in the day, we used to have these TDK cassettes, if you remember, 60-minute, 90-minute cassettes. I loaded one in my pocket and I said, in case the conversation with the imam gets boring, I'll just pop one of these in and we'll listen to what's on the cassette. It was some poetry in Urdu. So we started driving, and as we were driving, beautiful roads, we were driving through the beautiful scenery of Kentucky, if you guys have ever driven, beautiful trees and mountains. We were enjoying the drive, and while we were driving, at some point we just stopped talking, we still had an hour left. So I pulled out the cassette and I popped it into the cassette player. And on the cassette, this person was reading some poetry with a very beautiful, sweet voice. As he was reading the poetry, the imam next to me, who was our local imam, he immediately pushed the eject button, pulled the cassette out, and said, put this in your pocket. And he was laughing. So I said, Sheikh, why are you laughing? He said, this isn't no Islamic poetry, this is music. This is a Bollywood song, someone just changed the words and is singing this Bollywood song with new words. So I still remember those words, but because it's a Jummah khutbah, I won't repeat them. The obvious question that was in my mind, I asked him. I said, Sheikh, if this is a song, how do you know? Like, okay, if other people know, that makes sense, but why do you know? Look at the size of your beard. You're not supposed to listen to songs. So he said something so profound. I may have heard this when I was, you know, not even 10 at the time. But it was so profound what he said that by Allah, till today, I still think of that. I'm thinking of our time when we were driving, and I remember that conversation we had. He said, Hussein, listen very carefully. Every person has a past. Only the smart and intelligent people know when it's time to move forward. His words were so deep, because in my mind, I always thought the friends of Allah were born from their mother's wombs with a turban on their head, with the tasbih on their wrists, with the miswak behind their ear, and with leather socks on. We always thought that pious people were born pious. For some reason, it never hit me that every human being has the opportunity to become a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of your past, no matter how dark it is, no matter how many times you've messed up. And the hadith of Bukhari is so clear on this issue, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about the man who killed 100 people. You guys remember that narration? The man who killed 100 people. I mean, think about that. 100 people he killed. But ultimately, because of his tawbah, because of his desire to make change, because he was in the process of making change, leaving his back, leaving his history, leaving his negative influences, walking towards a positive life, and on his way to making change. He didn't even make the change, by the way. He was on the way to make the change. And on the way to that city, he passed away. The angels came to take his soul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels of mercy to take his soul, because he was on the way to make change. If you want yourself to become a better person, It all starts off with you believing in yourself. Believing that you are already a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regardless of your deeds, regardless of what the community thinks of you, regardless of your dark moments that shaitan has taken advantage over you. Remember that the fact that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding you in the Quran, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur walladhina kafaru awliya'uhum at-taghut yukhrijunahum min an-nuri ila adh-dhulumat. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the intimate, close friends of those who believe. Had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not been your friend, tell me, would your Allah give you the ability to come to the masjid? Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had nothing to do with you coming to Jum'ah? Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had nothing to do with you taking the seat in the exact place where you're sitting right now? Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nothing to do with you listening to what you're listening to right now, with the thoughts that are roaming in your mind and the feelings that are stirring in your heart? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yet again is giving you and I an opportunity to make that change. That change will only come if you desire it. The Quran speaks very clearly, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Change will not come until you want it. You have to desire it. Know that without change, there is no hope for you and I in the hereafter. If we were to present ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the exact way we are today, only Allah knows what our fate will be in the hereafter. We want the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us when we stand in front of Him on the Day of Judgment. All your moments in your life that you live prepare you for the ultimate moment of your life, and that's the moment right before you leave. The moment before you die is a summary of your entire life. And this is the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah." Whoever utters as their last statement before they depart this world, "La ilaha illallah," they will go to Jannah. Because only that person can say "La ilaha illallah" before they pass, who spend their life thinking, reflecting, remembering "La ilaha illallah," living their life by "La ilaha illallah." I had a friend who was a physician in a Muslim country. He said in a hospital, 60% of my Muslim patients would die without reading the Shahada. 60% of them. You would think to yourself that these people would definitely die with the Shahada before they passed away, but they were deprived. Some of them, while they were dying, they were singing a song. For others, they were talking about a debt that someone owed them. Some, when they were dying, they were cursing a family member who ruined their life at some point. They just weren't focused enough. The priority wasn't living your life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you make that your concern, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always give you that ending. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. That actions are based off of the ending. The way the book ends, the way your life ends, will be how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge the rest of your life. The way you leave this world. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one dua he used to make, Allahumma ja'al khayra umri akhirahu, wa khayra amali khawatimahu, wa khayra ayyami yawma alqaka fihi ya rabbal alameen. Oh Allah, make the last part of my life the best part of my life. Ya Allah, make the most sincere and most accepted action of my life the action that I do as I leave this world, the last action that I do. And Ya Allah, make the most pleasurable and honorable day the day I stand in your presence, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Prepare for those moments. There were scholars that came before. There were people that came before who spent and reflected over their passing from this world and transitioning to the next. We spend so much time talking about our next house that we're going to move in with our spouses. We spend so much time talking with our friends about the next car or the car that we're driving right now. Because this is the sum of our life now. Our house and our car, what amenities we have in our house, what neighborhood we live in, how big the house is, how many rooms it has, how many square feet it is. These are things that matter to human beings. But I kid you not, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of these details are meaningless. How many cameras you have in your house, how many heaters you have, how many windows you have. These are all things that are meaningless to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنظُرُ إِلَى صُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ. Allah has no interest in your wealth. Your wealth is only interesting to someone who has greed for wealth, maybe another human being like me. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghani. He doesn't need wealth. Wealth doesn't tempt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَهُ مَفَاتِيحُ السَّمَاوَاتِ He has the keys to the earth and the heavens. لَهُ مَقَالِيدُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ He has all the treasures that belong to Him. So how can you tempt someone with treasures who gives birth, like the origins of these treasures come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is interested in وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ in your hearts. Allah is interested in the state of your heart. Does it have greed? Does it have jealousy? Does it have animosity? Does your heart have sincerity? Do you feel pain when someone tells you that there's another Muslim that's hurt? Does your heart feel it? When someone tells you there's another human being that's being oppressed, does your heart feel it? Or does your heart only feel it if that person is your family member? What's the state of your heart? Wa amalikum, what are the state of your deeds? Are you a forerunner when it comes to your deeds? Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, as Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi narrates in his history work, Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya. He quotes from Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. There are some people standing, so let's move in inshallah. I'm sure there are more people coming in. If you have any gaps to your side, please fill them in. Any gaps to your sides anywhere, everyone, just move forward. Sisters too, please move forward so we can make space for those who are running in a little late. Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi narrates in his Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, a very interesting and beautiful story from Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu was performing Hajj, and this is during his Khilafah, while he was the Khalifa. He's performing Hajj, and after performing Hajj, it's time for him to return back to Medina Munawwara. While he's returning back to Medina Munawwara, he passes by this valley called Wadi Dhajnan. And when he passes by that valley, he stops there and he starts crying. He cries profusely, he cries and cries and cries. One of the servants that was nearby, he said to Umar bin Khattab, مَا يُبْكِيكُ وَأَنْتَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Why are you crying? You're the leader of the believers. What brings tears to your eyes? So Umar radiallahu anhu says, كُنْتُ أَرْعَى إِبْلَ الْخَطَّابِ وَكَانَ رَجُلًا فَضًّا غَلِيظًا يُتْعِبُنِي إِذَا عَمِلْتُ وَيَضْرِبُنِي إِذَا قَصَّرْتُ That I used to graze the camels for Khattab, who was his father. I used to graze camels for Khattab. And I would bring the animals to this very same land, this very same valley. And my father used to make me work very hard. يُتْعِبُنِي إِذَا عَمِلْتِ He was always hard on me whenever I worked for him. وَيَضْرِبُنِي إِذَا قَصَّرْتِ And every time I failed him, he would beat me up. In one narration, he says that I brought the animals here and I let them loose. And I was tired, so you see that tree there? Underneath that tree, I lied down and I fell asleep. My father was waiting for me to return. I didn't return. So he came to search for me. He found me here. He broke a branch from this tree and he beat me red. He kept beating me. And he said every time my father would hit me, he would say, Omar, what future will you have? You can't even take care of animals. What are you going to do with your life? Then Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu started crying. And he said that's who Umar was, a man who couldn't even take care of animals. But today I stand on the earth and there is no one between myself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the maqam that Allah Azza wa Jal gave me. This change occurred because he found that opportunity. And he made something out of it. Today we are in Ramadan. Today we have an opportunity to raise your hands and cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there to listen to your du'as outside Ramadan. But in Ramadan, there's something very special. The mercy that comes in Ramadan cannot be matched outside Ramadan. Just as the dua made in your local masjid, you cannot compare that dua to the dua you make maybe in the haram. The dua in the haram is of a whole different nature. When you're standing in front of the Kaaba, you have the world around you doing tawaf. Every one of them is raising their hand, reaching for the sincerest and deepest point of their heart, crying in front of Allah. Think of the flood of mercy, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's encompassing that city, that community of people, that group, that masjid, the flood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that's just wiping everyone's sins away. Similarly, when it comes to Ramadan, the Muslim ummah is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's not a month in the year that mercy comes to the world like the month of Ramadan. A very special opportunity for you. People, they say that five Ramadans have passed, 10 Ramadans have passed, and nothing has changed. I've gone for Hajj 15 times. Some people, they go for Hajj like every year. And that person, even after going for Hajj 15 times, hasn't changed at all. For them, going to Hajj is like going to the mall. They're just doing it because they have to. Or they do it because it's routine or habit. They have extra money, and I'm just going to go. So some people, they go for Hajj. It doesn't change them. They fast, it doesn't change them. They come to the masjid, but it doesn't change them. Because their interaction with Hajj, with Ramadan, with going to the masjid, with even reading the Quran, is very superficial. It's ritualistic, where you just do it because you're supposed to do it. You bow up and down without having any idea what you're actually doing. That reflection, that thought, that love that's supposed to be in your heart. In this Ramadan, if there's one thing that I can encourage you to search for, is go deep into your heart and search for the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love Allah, find that love. And when you find that love, raise your hands in front of Allah and say, Ya Allah, it's taken me too long to find this small little door that was tucked away inside my heart. Now that I found it, I open it. Ya Allah, never ever let it close again. Ask a person who's cried in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll tell you that those tears have no pain, no agony. They only have joy. They only liberate you. They only free you. Try to connect yourself with your Creator. Luqman the wise said to his son, that if you have all of the treasures of this world, but you don't have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you haven't tasted the sweetness of the tears that come out of the eye, out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said to his son, you've taken nothing from this world. But if the only thing you've taken from this world is the love of Allah and nothing else from its pleasures, then know that you've taken everything from this world. Make this Ramadan a Ramadan of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Find that moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already announced His friendship for you. He's already announced His love for you. And if you haven't heard it, it's in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already opened the gates of Jannah for you. If you don't believe it, go read the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your Lord's love for you is such that He closed the doors of the fire of hell for you. And that's how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Now it's just time that we turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we accept, Ya Allah, it took me long. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. O insan, what took you so long? What took you so long? Didn't I give you everything you wanted? But you continue to ignore, you continue to turn away. Your Lord was waiting for you to come. Your Lord was waiting for you to ask from Him, to attest your love for Him. The doors of Jannah were always open for you. I created Jannah for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has announced His love for you. Now in this Ramadan, I call to all the brothers and sisters, build your bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read the Quran and find your Lord's love there. And once you find that love for Allah, I kid you not, the next sajda you perform will be your mi'raj. You'll feel your spiritual elevation. But ibadah without love is nothing more than a burden. Once you install that love into place, ibadah is no longer a burden on you. It becomes meaningful. Your worship becomes a desire. How is it? I think about this all the time. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba would wake up for tahajjud salah. No alarm clocks. The animals are asleep. The human beings are asleep. How do you wake up every day with mudawama consistently without an alarm clock? How do you do that? And the only answer is that these people, they had a love for it. They had a desire for it. They looked forward to it. Like a person who has an Umrah flight the next morning at 6 a.m., they don't need an alarm clock to wake them up. They'll wake up every 15 minutes and ask their spouse, is it time to go? Is it time to go? Is it time to go? And Aisha radiallahu anha says that one night, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept asking me this question, is it time for tahajjud? Is it time for tahajjud? Until the night passed by, neither of us slept. Just in anticipation and waiting for tahajjud salah. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this Ramadan a special Ramadan. A Ramadan where we reflect. A Ramadan where we find that opportunity of change. And we maximize on that opportunity. A Ramadan where we find the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our heart. And we attest the love. We live by the love. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrects us in the day of judgment in the group of His beloved ones. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Alhamdulillah alladhi la yurja li kashfi ash-shada'id illa hu wa la yud'a li daf'i al-masa'ib illa hu wa ma talaba al-wasiluna fil kawnayn illa hu wa ma murad al-'ashiqina fid-dharayn illa hu الناس كلهم فقراء ولا غني إلا هو، الناس كلهم ضعفاء ولا قوي إلا هو، لا خالق ولا مالك ولا ناصر إلا هو، هل من خالق غير الله يرزقكم من السماء والأرض، لا إله إلا هو، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أيها الناس وحدوا الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات، واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاق الحسنات، وعليكم بالصدق فإن الصدق ينجي والكذب يهلك، وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين، ولا تقنطوا من رحمة الله فإنه أرحم الراحمين، ولا تحبوا الدنيا فتكونوا من الخاسرين، ألا وإن نفسا لن تموت حتى تستكمل رزقها، فاتقوا الله وأجملوا في الطلب وتوكلوا عليه فإن الله يحب المتوكلين، وادعوه فإن ربكم مجيب الداعين، واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان، وأقضاهم علي رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما يا رب العالمين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم اهدنا في من هديت، وعافنا في من عافيت، وتولنا في من توليت، وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت، وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت، فإنك تقضي بالحق ولا يقضى عليك، إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت. تباركت ربنا وتعاليت، فلك الحمد على ما قضيت، ولك الشكر على ما أنعمت به وأوليت. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل زمان ومكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم احفظ البلاد المسلمين، اللهم احفظ البلاد المسلمين، واحفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى يا رب العالمين. اللهم ولي أمورنا خيارنا، اللهم ولي أمورنا خيارنا، اللهم لا تولي أمورنا شرارنا. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. أقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
استووا استقيموا. Stretching your lines, please. If there are any gaps in front of you, fill them in. Any empty spaces to your side, please also fill them in. استووا استقيموا يرحمكم الله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم،
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وإبراهيم الذي وفى ألا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى وأن ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى وأن سعيه سوف يرى ثم يجزاه الجزاء الأوفى وأن إلى ربك المنتهى وأنه هو أضحك وأبكى وأنه هو أمات وأحيا وأنه خلق الزوجين الذكر والأنثى من نطفة إذا تمنى وأن عليه النشأة الأخرى وأنه هو أغنى وأقنى وأنه هو رب الشعرى وأنه أهلك عادن الأولى وثمود فما أبقى وقوم نوح من قبل إنهم كانوا هم أظلم وأطغى والمؤتفكة أهوى فغشاها ما غشى فبأي آلاء ربك تتمارى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله استغفر الله اللهم صل على
محمد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Beloved and respected brothers and sisters, if you please can just give me exactly 5 minutes, inshallah. I hope first that everyone is enjoying the month of Ramadan, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of us, inshallah. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. As you see, my brothers and sisters, the masjid is, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, is expanding, and we have a lot of expenses that come with this task. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, 2 years ago, we came up with a campaign called 313. In this campaign, we asked 313 people to participate in a recurring payment in every month. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen has been taking care of many bills. But our bills are getting higher and higher. The security by itself is costing us tons of money. And there's electricity expenses, and there's water expenses, and there's many expenses to keep this masjid running. So inshallah ta'ala, just like the 313 sahaba saved the deen with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also want 313 people to participate, keep this masjid operating. So inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to ask a few people who would like to give us $250 per month on a recurring basis. Just a few brothers inshallah ta'ala. And sisters, please, $250, just a couple of brothers every month, you get it inshallah ta'ala, and you help participate in operating this masjid, inshallah ta'ala. $250 a month. One brother, two brothers. Anyone? This is our masjid, ya akhwan. This is our masjid. We have to help keeping it moving. And all this stuff that we are enjoying, unfortunately, it's not free. It costs money. $250 a month. Okay, I don't want to take a long time. Let's do $100 only. $100 a month. Come on, brothers, raise your hands. $100 a month. Barakallah fiqh, akhi. Jazakallah khair. Brother Akram is right there. Raise your hand, brother. $100 a month, ya akhwan. Barakallah fiqh, jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair, ya akhi. $100 a month. Fi sabilillah, ya akhwan. This is our masjid. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? My sisters, please. $100 a month. Yalla, ya akhwan. $100 a month. Fi sabilillah. Jazakallah khair, ya akhi. $100 a month. Brothers, the newcomers to the masjid, you are very welcome. And we would love you also to participate in everything. Just like you are participating in the events, please also participate in the expenses. Brothers in the back, even though I can't see you, please raise your hand and be honored to be a part of running the masjid. Everything inshallah ta'ala in this month is multiplied. $100 a month. $100 a month. Please raise your hand. Yalla ya akhwan. Sisters, do not hesitate. $100 a month. The Shaykh just recited, وَأَلْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Subhanallah, ya akhwan. You only get what you give, what you do. And this is the chance for us to do something. فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. $100? One more person? Just one? Anybody? Barakallah fiqh, Brother Riyaz. Okay, $50 a month, ya akhwan. Barakallahu akbar. Subhanallah, Taha, $50 a month. Look at our young youth, $50 a month. Ya akhwan, what is $50 going to do to you? We spend it on gas and we spend it on coffee. $50 a month, that will give us $600. $50 a month, Yusuf? Allahu Akbar. $50 a month, our youth. Yalla ya shabab, $50. Barakallah feek, brother with the green thawb. $50 a month. Brothers in the back, please participate. $50 a month, ya akhwan. $50. Dollar something a day. Fi sabilillah, to your masjid. That water that you're using when you make wudu, the electricity, the air condition, the cleaning that you come and see all the time, the security outside all day long that's protecting our health students. Every single day they are standing. $50 a month. Tayyib ya akhwan, I don't want to take you any longer. Please do not leave without participating in any amount. Any amount, whatever you can afford. 20, 30, 50, whatever you can afford. But please be a part of EPIC. Jazakumullah khair, wa barakallahu feekum, wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.